Bava Kamma, Perek Beis, Mishnah Hey 2:5. Now, my experience in teaching this Mishnah is that people find it difficult. The truth is, this is not a difficult Mishnah, okay? So if you find it difficult, then it's my fault. But as my Rebbe Rav Noach Orlowick used to say, a genius is someone who thinks slowly, quickly. You don't have to be a genius, you have to just think slowly and methodically through this Mishnah, and it'll be just fine, okay? So, and that said, I do think a simple pencil and paper to write a simple diagram down to visualize things will be super helpful, and I will tell you exactly how to write your piece of paper. So I recommend you do have at least enough headspace and yeshiva das, you know, peace of mind to sit down and do this at a desk with a piece of paper and a pen. Okay, so the topic of this Mishnah, the primary topic, is the topic of Kol V'chomer and its rules. So let me speak about that for just a moment. We have a tradition that the Torah was written in a way that it can be darshan. That means you can extrapolate new halachas out of the Torah, and by means of 13 different tools. Okay, there are different braises, how many there are, but we say 13. And those 13 midos shator nedreshes behen, those 13 ways in which the Torah can be extrapolated to bring out new halachas, are really part and parcel with the tradition. So you need to actually have a tradition to be able to use those tools, and therefore already since the time of the Mishnayos and Talmud, there are no more drushas being made using these 13 principles. Like, for example, if you look in Bamidbar, Perek Lamed Pasuk Beis, 32 there, Rashi seems to be making a drasha, and the Mizrahi really is confounded, saying, how is this possible? He says explicitly, even the Gaonim didn't make drushas anymore. So really, it's left to the province of the Tanaim, essentially. Okay? Now, that said, one of the 13 midos is the Kal V'chomer. Okay, Kal Kuf Lamed means light, or less severe, less strict, and chomer means heavy, more strict, okay? And one should not think that a kol v'chomer is logic, okay? It isn't logic. I don't mean to say it's not logical, but it really isn't logical. It's just that it's not illogical, okay? It doesn't defy the rules of logic, but it's not governed by strict logic. Rather, it's its own set of rules, like a decoder ring that Hashem gave us to decode halachas in the Torah. So when the Torah, when Chazal are talking about logic, as opposed to the Mida of Kol V'chomer, they refer to Kol Shekein, all the more so, which is, you know, if I can lift up a 100-pound goat, so then Kol Shekein, I can lift up a 50-pound goat, because it weighs even less. And Kol Shekeins and Kol V'chomers can go both directions, so similarly you could say, if a 50-pound goat steps on my toe, it will break it, so Kol Shekein, all the more so, if a 100-pound goat steps on my toe, it's going to break my toe. But that's logic. This is not what we're talking about in this Mishnah. We're talking about something else called Kol V'chomer. And it's not illogical, but it's not governed by the rules of logic. Instead, it's governed by a set of principles, which are we have in tradition. Okay? Now, I don't want to discuss too much about how Kol V'chomer works. There's actually quite a lot to say about it. Our Mishnah will deal with the Kol V'chomer. And what Kol V'chomer is when we have the possibility of extracting a new halacha that isn't explicit in the Torah, but we have two different like halachic phenomena, like two things, A and B, and if we can show that A is always more lenient, or at least always more lenient in the relevant topics that are relevant to the question at hand, and B is always more strict relative to A, or at least more strict in the province of what's relevant to our discussion at hand. So then we can say, if some stricture applies to A, so then Kol V'chomer, it applies to B. And we can actually extract the new halacha out of the Torah and say that the Torah also says that B should be strict just like A. And it can go the other direction as well. If we see some leniency by B, then we could say then Kol V'chomer, it applies to A as well. Again, you need tradition to extrapolate that. Worth pointing out here that while these do have like the force essentially of a Doraisa, we don't punish based on dinim that are extracted from Kol V'chomer, etc., the same way we would by an explicit pasuk. Be that as it may, we have sources for Kol V'chomer being a valid tool in the Torah actually exist, according to the Baraisa, 10 different times in the Tanakh. I'll bring one to your attention, one that's really relevant to our discussion here, which is, it says that, explicitly it says that after Miriam in, I'm talking here now in Parshas Balosacha, at the end there in Bamidbar, in Perek Yud Beis, Miriam gets Tzara'as for talking badly about Moshe, Lashon Hara, and she is told to leave the camp for 7 days, and they wait for her. And Hashem says explicitly to Moshe Rabbeinu, he says, if her own father would Yerok Yerok, he would spit Befaneh into her face, Halo Sichalem Shivas Yamim, so she for sure would be like humiliated for 7 days, and therefore Tisager Shivas Yamim, let her be sequestered outside of the camp for 7 days, Mechutz L'machna, outside, and then after that she can come back in. So there you see a Kal V'chomer in action, which is that we don't know the din. What happens if Hashem, you know, metaphorically spits in someone's face by giving them a tzaras like he did to Miriam? What should she do? And we say, listen, we given that if a flesh and blood father would spit in the girl's face, she would have to be embarrassed for 7 days. So for sure, she'd be embarrassed for 7 days, meaning out of the camp, sequestered, if God spits in her face. That's the idea over here. Now, there are a few rules that apply to Kal V'chomer. One of those rules is the rule of Dayo. Now, the word dio is literally translated as sufficient, enough. And actually, although the rule is referred to as the rule of dio, it's actually like a shorthand for a larger expression, which appears explicitly in our Mishnah, which is dio lavo min hadin lios kanidon, which means dio, it's enough, lavo min hadin, to bring, to infer to this din, this new halacha you want to learn, out, lios kanidon, that it should be like the source of the place where you're learning out this rule. So the word din refers to what you're, the new rule you're learning out, and nidon is a thing from which you are learning it out. It's a nifal, kind of the same way you have like a mashal and a nimshal, so you have a din and a nidon, okay? So the principle of dial says that if you're learning from some given to some unknown, so quantitatively, let's call it, you can't get more in the new din than you got from the unknown. You're limited by, I'll call it quantitatively, it's like that's what is in our Mishnah here, you're limited by the source itself. So a simple example here. The example is the story of Miriam. That's the source in the Torah for Dio. So again, of course, being humiliated by God is more humiliating than being humiliated by your own father, flesh and blood. So therefore you might say, listen, if it takes 7 days to recover from the humiliation of your father spitting in your face in public, so then it should take more than that, 14 days for yourself to recover if your father in heaven, God, spat in your face, so to speak. But you see from the verse, it says, if her father would spit in her face, so she should be embarrassed for 7 days. So too, if I spit in her face, says God, also 7 days. So you see that the principle of dio work is, even though God is more strict, we don't say more than seven. We're limited to seven because that's the basis, the yesod, what this rule is predicated on, is limited by the 7 day period. So that's dio. You can't go more than what you've got to work with. You can't go up in terms of quantitatively. Okay. Now, everybody agrees there is such a thing called dio, and everyone agrees there's such a thing as Kal V'chomer. However, there is a machlokus, and the machlokus really is at the core of our Mishnah, whether one applies the rule of dio in the event that by applying it, you've totally undermined the Kal V'chomer. So the Kal V'chomer really has no place anymore, has no applicability. So that's a machlokus. According to Rabbi Tarfon, in the event that the dio has would otherwise totally undermine the Kal V'chomer, so then we do not apply the rule dio. According to the Chacham, we do, meaning according to Rabbi Tarfon, dio can limit but not essentially render meaningless a Kal V'chomer, whereas the rabbis say, listen, dio is dio, and if it means that you have no Kal V'chomer whatsoever, so then so be it. Okay, that's a machlokas, and that's a machlokas in our Mishnah. So now, with that in mind, let's turn to the Mishnah. The Mishnah is focusing on the halacha of the payments required when one's cow does keren damage, which he said is chatzi nezek, and that's what the pasuk says. But the pasuk doesn't say if we're talking about chatzi nezek in rishus harabim or in rishus hanizek. If we're it just says one pays half damages. I don't want to go to the pasuk exactly because of the complexities of the pasuk, but it certainly doesn't specify the location. Elsewhere, we know that when it comes to Shein and Regel, we do differentiate between if the damage occurred in the Rishus HaRab, the public place where the owner of the animal is allowed to be, and therefore there's no culpability. Whereas if the damage happens in the Rishus HaNizak, in the private property of the damaged party, so then the person who's responsible for guarding the animal must pay for any Shein or Regel damages. So you see there's two different domains, Rishus HaRab and Rishus HaNizak, with different laws. We don't know how that applies to the category called Karen. We know there is a half payment, Chatzi Nezek, for Karen, but we don't know if that's equally in Rishus HaRabim and Rishus HaNizek, or fine, in the base case of Rishus HaRabim, it's Chatzi Nezek, but in Rishus HaNizek, it is perhaps more. And if you recall back, the whole Perek has been explicating the five ways in which there could be a Muad culpability with living creatures, and that was based on that Mishnah, the last Mishnah, the first Perek, and there were five different things. The fourth of the five was called Shor HaMazik Birshus HaNizak. If one's ox damages in the private property of the victimized party, and it does damage even if it's Karen, so one still pays full damages. Now that, as I said over there, is the Shita of Rabbi Tarfon, which is actually a subject of Machlokas, and the Lach is not like him. But here we see that Machlokas. Our Mishnah says, Shor HaMazik Birshus HaNizak Ketzad. How does it look? How does it work out that we have this case of if one's ox damages in the private property of the victim, so then the owner, it's like a muad, the owner must, who's responsible for the damaging cow, meaning the mazik, he must pay full damages. Nagach, nagaf, nashach, ravatz, ba'at, if it did any of those five things, nagicha with its body, with its horns, nagifa with its, nagaf means with its body, nashach, it bit with its teeth, ravatz, it crouched to break, or ba'at, it kicked, Rishus HaRabim, if it's in the Rishus HaRabim, so then as the Pasuk says, Mishalim Chatzi Nezek, the Mazik's required to pay half of the damages it caused. But Rishus HaNizak, if the damage occurs in the private property of the damaged party, Rabbi Tarfon Omer Nezek Shalim. Rabbi Tarfon holds that it's, in that case, a Nezek Shalim, a full payment, full damages, like he said in the Mishnah in 1:4. The Chacham disagree, and they say there's no difference between Rishus HaRabim and Rishus HaNizak. In both cases, the liability for Karen damage, since an animal is not expected damage, it's a tam, is only Chatzi Nezak. So now, Rabbi Tarfon is going to try to convince the rabbis that a Kol V'Chomer should apply in order to learn that it should be Nezak Shalom and Rishus HaNizak. Now, to understand this, I'm going to suggest to you strongly, get out a piece of paper and a pen or pencil, and make the following little diagram. Okay, you need a 2x2 grid, which actually ends up being sort of 3x3 because you need one of the outside rows for and columns for the labels. But the point is a 2x2 grid with labels around it. So there are going to be two rows. One row is labeled Rishus HaRabim, and the second row is called Rishus HaNizak, and two columns. One column is called Regel and Shein, and one column is called Karen. Okay, so now, the Regel and Shein, you can put a note above it, are going to be the Kal in the Kal V'Chomer, and the Karen will be the Chomer, the more strict case. And why is that the case? Because in Rishus HaRabim, we start there, so you have four boxes, right? Rishus HaRabim, when it comes to Shein and Regel, we said, what's the liability? 0%, right? A big 0% there, because your Pater, if your livestock causes damage, whether Shein or Regel, in the Rishus HaRabim. What about Karen? So everyone agrees that Karen pays Chatzi Nezek in Rishus HaRabim. So we put a big 50% over there, okay, for half damages. So that's in the Rishus HaRabim Karen case. So the reason why Karen is considered to be the Chomer, the Chomer case in the Kal V'Chomer, is because we see that you pay half damages in Rishus HaRabim when it comes to Karen, and no damages when it comes to Regel and Shein. And the truth is, that's going to be across the board. Karen, in general, is more strict in this regard. So now, what about in Rishus HaNizak, the next row down? So put there, for Shein and Regel, we said the damage is full damages, Nezek Shalom. So put 100% in the box for Rishus HaNizak, Shein and Regel. Now what about the second box in Rishus Hanizuk for Karen. So that the pasuk is inexplicit. We don't know because the pasuk just says it's chatzi nezek, but doesn't say if we differentiate between Rishus Harabim and Rishus Hanizuk. So now Rabbi Tarfon is going to make an argument, which is it stands to reason that there should be two different dinim, one that applies in Rishus Harabim, one in Rishus Hanizuk, because that's already established from before. We see in the case of Shein and Regel, they're two different domains with two different compensation structures, and the Rishus Hanizuk is much more strict than Rishus Harabim for obvious reasons. My cow has a right to be in the street, so if it knocks over your potato cart, so listen, this is the street I'm allowed to be here. But if my cow goes and tramples your potato cart in your backyard, you'd say, listen, what in the world is your cow doing in my backyard? Therefore, it makes sense that there's more liability in the private property of the Nizek, where you have no right to allow your animal to roam, and therefore, it's stricter. Okay, the question is, Karen in Rishus HaNizek, if my cow goes into your backyard and starts goring your animals, is it Chatzi Nezek, or is it more than that? So Rabbi Tarfon's going to argue it should be more than that, based on a simple Kol V'Chomer. And the Kol V'Chomer is, I'll actually speak it out before I read it to you. The Kol V'Chomer is, listen, if Shein and Regel are more lenient than Karen, which we see in that first row, because it's 0% Rishus HaRabim for Shein and Regel and 50% for Karen. And yet, when it comes to Shein and Regel in the Rishus HaNizek, it's 100%. If it's 100% in Rishus HaNizek for Shein and Regel, and they're the more lenient, so for sure it should be 100% in the Karen case, because it shouldn't be less than the Rishus HaNizek. That's the basic thought of the Kol V'Chomer. Okay, so now the Mishnah says inside. Amar lehem Rabbi Tarfon. Rabbi Tarfon says, "Uma makum shehekel al hashen val haregel b'Rishus HaRabim in Rishus HaRabim." If you look at the Shein column, you see that it's 0% liability. Shu Pater, you're totally exempt. But Hechmer Aleim Rishus HaNizek, and yet if you go down to the next row of Rishus HaNizek, we say it's strict. How strict? To pay full damages. L'sholem Nezek Shalim. So then Makom Shehechmer Al HaKeren Rishus HaRabim. We already have 50% in the row of Rishus HaRabim, in the Keren column. We have 50% already. So Eino din, isn't it stand to reason that shenachmir aleh b'rishus hanizak, that it should be stricter in Rishus HaNizek also, l'shalom nezek shalom, that Karen should pay full damages in the Rishus HaNizek. That's the thought. So we should put 100 in that the box which is in the Rishus HaNizek row, and in the Karen column, it should be 100 according to Reb Tarfon, based on Kol V'Chomer. Okay. Now, the Chacham reject that, and they say, listen, you're trying to, now take your pen and like kind of draw an arrow down, if you will, from the 50 down into the new box. So the rabbis say, listen, you're trying to apply 50 from the Rishus HaRabim case for Karen down to the Rishus HaNizek. And 1 second, you got a rule of Dio. You're limited. You can't go from 50 to 100. Dio says you can't up the quantity. I get it that you want to be strict in Rishus HaNizek, but how strict? You can't go past 50, because that's your basis. Your basis is that Karen in Rishus HaRabim is 50, so you can't go more than that. Dio says you're limited to 50. The same way Dio says when Hashem spat in Miriam's face, so to speak, so you're limited to 1 week, even though it's more severe than her father spitting, which is 1 week. So that's the Dio principle at work. So they say, Amru lo. The Chacham say back to Tarfon, Dio lovo min hadin lios kanidon. It's sufficient to bring to the new rule, the din. The din is referring to this box, the empty box of the Rishus HaNizek Karen box. So that's the din we're trying to apply it to. Lios kanidon, that it should be the same quantitatively as the nidon, the place from which you're bringing the din. And since it's 50% damages in Rishus HaRabim for Karen, it can't be more than 50% by using a Kol V'Chomer in the Rishus HaNizek. That arrow that you're bringing down from 50 down to the bottom column, to the bottom square there, is limited to 50. Ma b'Rishus HaRabim chatzi nezek, just as in Rishus HaRabim, it's 50% damages. Af b'Rishus HaNizek chatzi nezek, you're limited to the Rishus HaNizek for Karen, also 50, not more than that. Now, Rabbi Tarfon rejects this, because Rabbi Tarfon says, yes, Dio is a rule that limits a Kol V'Chomer, but it only applies where the Tao doesn't totally undermine the Kol V'Chomer entirely. And says Rabbi Tarfon, listen, in this case, we already know from the Pasuk there's Chatzi Nezek for Keren, and that is where that applies is inexplicit in the Pasuk. But even if we had nothing more to learn, like no more Limudim, no more Kol V'Chomers or whatever it is, we would still know what's the damage in the Rishus and Nezek, 50%, Chatzi Nezek, because that's what the Pasuk says. So our thought is, we have two different domains, Rishus HaRab, Rishus and Nezek, and there should be different rules that apply. So if you apply Dio and limit it to 50%, says Rabbi Tarfon, then you have no Kol V'Chomer to be made, because you knew 50 before the Kol V'Chomer. And therefore, we don't apply Dio in such a case, says Rabbi Tarfon, so therefore we're not limited, and we can learn the 100% story. Now, the rabbis, however, disagree. The Chacham say, no, Dio is in effect at all times, and therefore, if it means that you can't have a Kol V'Chomer, no Nudin in Rishus HaNizek Keren, so be it. Okay, now, Rabbi Tarfon isn't done. Rabbi Tarfon, he, from his perspective, the objection and object, because he says Dio is not applicable in this case. But Reb Tarfon's going to take a second stab at it. He's going to try to convince the rabbis that even according to them, Dio shouldn't limit the Kol V'Chomer. Why? Amar Lahem, he says, listen, you drew your picture wrong. That arrow that you have coming down from the 50 into the box of Rosh Hashanah is a Keren, that's not the arrow I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is drawing an arrow from the 100% in the Rosh Hashanah is a Regel category, and moving that 100 across to Rishus HaNizek Keren. You understand? So if the arrow is coming across from 100 as opposed to down from the 50, you're learning from 100 to 100. I'm not saying you should go down at all. I'm not saying you should go up either. I'm just saying Dio is sufficient. 100% damages is Shein in Rishus HaNizek, and Keren's more Machmir, so Keren can't be less than 100% in Rishus HaNizek than Shein in Regel. So therefore, it should also be 100%. That's what he wants to argue. And therefore he says, Amar Lahem, Ani lo adun Keren mekeren. I'm not trying to learn out Keren and Rishus HaNizek from Keren and Rishus HaRab. I mean, I'm not trying to try to arrow down from the 50 and make it 100 in that box. Ani adun Keren meregel. I'm trying to draw the arrow across to learn Keren from Shein and Regel. Umamakum shehekel al hashein v'al haregel b'Rishus HaRab. Listen, we've established that in Rishus HaRabim, Keren is more strict than Shein HaRegel, because Shein HaRegel is Pater in Rishus HaRabim, whereas Keren is Chatzi Nezek. Hechem b'Keren. Makom shehechemir al Hashein v'Regel, where you're already paying 100% in Shein v'Regel in the Rishus HaNizek. So then, Eino din shenachmer b'Keren, at least just the same 100% culpability Nezek Shalom you have in Rishus HaNizek for Keren, and excuse me, for Shein HaRegel, should also apply to Keren. So just move that 100 across, and you Dio is not a problem, because I'm not trying to go up from 100. I'm saying quantitatively where we always were. Nezek Shalom, the Kal of Regel, and Shein and Rishus HaNizek is 100, so the Chomer of Keren and Rishus HaNizek should also be 100. Amrulo, they say, no. They say, Dio doesn't only limit your ultimate result. I mean, you can't, the din can't be more than the nidon quantitatively, but more than that, the yesod, the foundations on which your kol v'chomer are built, the assumptions you're making, they also could limit it. So if you have a rule, there's such a thing when it comes to, in other words, how do you know that Keren is more strict than Shein HaRegel? You know because there's chatzi nezek in Rishus HaRab when it comes to Keren, and you're putter in Rishus HaRab when it comes to Shein HaRegel. So it's, okay, good, it's more strict, Keren, but all you know is that there's such a thing called Chatzi Nezek when it comes to Keren. You have no basis to know Nezek Shalom, full damages. And therefore, you can't, if you're only putting in as your starting point into your proof that it's more strict, a Chatzi Nezek, you can't now invent more the full damages of the Nezek Shalom. So in other words, the point is they're saying not only is Dio limit your final result, not going up quantitatively, but even it's limited to what your inputs were as the Yesod, as the foundations, as the principles from which you built your Kol V'Chomer. And that's what they say here. Amru lo, Dio levo min hadin liyos kenidon. No. You're limited, and since that you're trying to learn out Keren and Rishus HaNizek, and the only thing we have as our starting point is Keren's more chomer than Shein HaRegel because there's a Chatzi Nezek payment in Rishus HaRab. You're limited to Chatzi Nezek. Ma Rishus HaRab Chatzi Nezek, just as we only know about half damages in Rishus HaRab, Af Rishus HaNizek Chatzi Nezek. All you can say is that in the Rishus HaNizek, it's half damages. Okay, so that is the Mishnah, and the Halacha is like the Chachamim, meaning when it comes to Keren, it's Chatzi Nezek. Whether Rishus HaRab or Rishus HaNizek, it's always Chatzi Nezek, as long as it's a Tam. If you make it a Mu'ud, then it's Nezek Shalom. And therefore, the halacha doesn't follow the Mishnah list of five back in Mishnah 1-4. Only four of the five are indeed muadim. This case here, the fourth of the fifth, the fourth of the five, which is Karen in the Rishus HaNizak, the halacha is not like Rabbi Tarfon in that Mishnah. It's like the Chachamim. It's only Chatzin Nezak.